BeaverFan.com Rice and Shout Podcast, episode 419. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, you know, when we finished recording last week, you know, we just had this regular show. We do our show, you know, talk about hot dogs and soda and other things related to BYU sports. And I didn't realize that all heck would break loose in college sports between now and then.
Yeah.
Between then and now.
But, so, I mean, should we expect anything else at this point?
No, we shouldn't.
Anything you say right now is going to be invalid in 5 minutes on any topic. True. It really doesn't matter.
It's true. By the time you listen to this, this may all seem like last week's podcast from a time standpoint.
You're going to listen to this and be like, those guys didn't even know. They didn't even know.
They didn't even know yet that they're going to play all the games on the moon.
Oh, it sounds so weird to listen to this. They didn't even know.
They hadn't even heard about the whole plan to launch them all into space.
We're playing the games on the moon.
Can't catch COVID in space, baby.
I'm not even sure that's accurate.
That's not accurate at all. Not at all. I don't believe. I think it might be worse because there's no gravity, right?
I have no idea. I'm not going to claim to understand much about
space works. Or you're not a virologist?
I'm not a virologist. I'm an armchair virologist like everybody else on Twitter. but I'm not an armchair spaceman. So,
Spaceman? What is this, 1952?
I've seen the previews for the show Space Force.
Yes, I have.
I haven't watched the episodes yet. But maybe that qualifies me to talk about space. I don't know.
My wife and I were trying to decide what show we should watch next together. And we created like a short list of streaming shows, and we ended up with the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Have you ever watched that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched several episodes of it.
Yeah, we're just one episode in, but Space Force made it on, and every time during the preview they showed another scene, it was some other famous sitcom actor, right?
Everybody wants in on this joke.
Yeah, it's chock full in Space Force. So anyway,
but you understand they're having there's a trademark dispute.
Yes, with the actual Space Force.
Right. Because Netflix got the trademark first.
Well, you got to move fast. You got to move fast.
Got to move fast with those trademarks. You got to move. The world
move.
Life comes at you fast. If you blink, you might miss it.
That's right. Well, with that, Matt, let's jump right into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So we only have one tweet bag question today because all the rest of it's going to be part of our big Y and our games. So this goes to our nephew David. That's at David Mangum on Twitter. And he says, since Matt loves the 96 team so much, are there any players on the 2020 team that could start on the 1996 team? And as soon as I read this, I thought the answer's easy, Matt. Zach Wilson. I mean, game one over the Sark, right?
Yeah, that's not happening.
Okay, you're the expert on the 96 team. I've got a couple of ideas of people that could start, but you go ahead.
So the obvious one to me, the most obvious guy that I would go after first off of the 2020 roster for the 96 team is Tonga on the defensive line.
That's what I was
I'm not going to say that the defensive line in 1996, they weren't slouches by any stretch of the imagination, right? I mean, Byron Frisch, I think, but he was just a freshman, played a little bit, but then you got Henry Bloomfield was very good, recorded a few sacks. Harland IU was very good. So that the interior defensive line is probably where you had a little bit of space, and a talent like Tonga would be really hard to keep off the field. So off the top of my head, that's the first one I would go with. I can talk about a couple more unless you want to jump in on
Tonga,
a couple that you've thought.
Tonga's the one. That's who I thought. And basically any of the linebackers, because that linebacker core in 96 was pretty mediocre, right? I'm just kidding, Matt. I'm just kidding.
You're beating me on that. So, but actually, I did look at the linebacker core here, and the linebacker core in 96 was maybe a little in one case was a little undersized, right? Shea Mearbrook at 6'1", 235. It's well documented. He's one of my favorite BYU football players of all time. I don't know that any of these guys would have beat him out for a spot. I mean, he was a senior captain, also made at least a practice squad with the Raiders. You know, we had Rob Morris as a freshman, but Brad Martin was very solid. Spencer Reed was very solid.
Yeah, Reed was good.
So the linebacker core would be tough, you know, but you look at a guy like Chaz Ayu, there might be a guy or two in here that could play with those guys. It's not as obvious as the Tonga choice, and Tonga's more about him than it is about, you know, what the needs of the 96 team.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
I wanted to find some more, but offensive line, there's not a lot there that I can touch. I think that 96 offensive line is one of our best as a unit. In the running back space, I mean, Ronnie Jenkins, especially towards the end of the season, was just so good. Brian McKenzie was so good. You know, you want to put Bushman on, right? You look at the 2020 roster and you say, oh, Bushman. Bushman's got to be in the conversation. Unfortunately, 1996 had Chad Lewis and Atula Mealy, right? Like, so I think it'd be tough to put you to get into that mix between those two guys. Maybe after Atula Mealy got hurt at the end of the year, you'd see Bushman out on the field, but those guys were both very good. Now, Chad Lewis got better when he got to the league, actually. Atula Mealy was the better of the two tight ends at BYU, in my opinion. Chad Lewis really peaked at the right time and had a fantastic career in the NFL. So maybe Bushman gets in there. I don't know. That it's just a tight race. Most years, I think you could plug Bushman in and he'd be a starting tight end for you. This just happens to not be the right time.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have been. Actually, let me revise that. I think he's the third tight end on that team. Now, maybe after this year, if he has a monster senior year, we could revisit this question 12 months from now, right? But today, I couldn't pick him.
After he hurt his knee, right? So maybe Bushman would have gotten some time at that point.
Gotten some time, but we're talking start. We're not talking would contribute, right? Isaiah Kafusi would contribute. I don't think he's starting, right?
Right.
In that linebacker core, for example. I mean, he's a good player, and I think he would have contributed. I just think they had, you know, a better players. I think offensive line, I think you're selling a little short. There was a great unit, but BYU's got a couple of really good offensive linemen. You know, MP is quite good. Christians, I mean, there are some guys that you might actually make a one-for-one swap, maybe. I don't know.
You might. I think Tristan Hodge might make that conversation.
No, Hodge wouldn't make that conversation.
Does Herring make that conversation?
No.
MP does.
MP, and isn't Christensen the one that was also super highly rated? Or am I getting it mixed up? Was it?
I'd have to think about that.
No, it was Christensen. Christensen and MP.
I'm thinking Freeland a year or two from now. It might be somebody you would think about.
Sure, yeah.
He's got a little bit of time to develop. But Adam, you got to think about that offensive line for a second, right? Like, John Tate went on and played in the league for a long
time. I'm not going to replace Tate. Right, I'm not going to replace Tate. I mean, come on, no one's replacing Tate.
So your starters, you had Tate, Matt Cox was the starter. You had
Cox also played in the NFL.
Larry Moore was very good. Eric Bateman was very good. Those guys all played. Those guys all got on rosters in the league.
That also happens when your team wins a lot. I'm not, you know, you get a benefit of the doubt, right? On some of this, but yes, I mean, that group was great. I'm just saying there's a couple of guys here that might, on this current roster, that might have a chance of starting. I just don't see, from the position standpoint, I don't see anybody that starts on this team on the 96 team.
You know, and I even went through wide receivers thinking, you know, maybe like Gunnar Romney or one of these guys gets in the mix, but you know, this wide receiver core was actually really good. I mean, K.O. Kealalohi, Kaipa Maguire, both very good. Kaipa Maguire, though, I mean, he's tiny, but very good. Ben Cahoon goes on to be one of the greatest Canadian Football League players of all time.
Yeah, but you keep going to the NFL thing. I just care about how good they were that year in 1996. It doesn't matter. Like, Rob Morris is irrelevant, right? Like, we're talking
right,
about
more,
the players Schaefer, that started.
Spencer Reed, and those guys aren't, right?
Oh, no. Those guys are. But I'm just saying the players that started And it's a little unfair on the wide receivers because these guys all had Sarkisian throwing to them, right? In an offense that was very pass heavy. But I agree with you. I can't imagine on the receiving side in that 96 team, anybody, I'm on the wrong.
Here's the thing, on the receiver side on the 96 team, the guys that were the stars, right? Like Cahoon, Dye, Kealuhi, Kaipo Maguire, those guys were all pretty small. And so
that's before Cahoon became Cahoon.
Yeah, he had a couple of good plays though that year. I mean, he
had 11 catches, dude.
He had some important catches.
Okay, fine. I don't know. Romney might break that lineup.
I think Romney might break that lineup. A couple of these guys that have a little bit more size along with the speed off of 2020 team might be able to crack in. Romney's probably the best example of
that. Kyle Louie is not. I mean, he was the best wide receiver. I think Mealy was your best option in the passing game, period. But KO was really good. And Kemba Maguire's good, but I don't know. You've got me. I'm with you. This could potentially be.
There could be.
Because this was before Cahoon was Cahoon. Right?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
That next season was when he. Because he was a transfer, right? JC transfer?
Well, let's see. Where did he come out of?
Anyway.
No, he wasn't a JC transfer. He came. He came from Ricks.
Ricks, yeah. Yeah, so he's
there's
a
JC. There's another one came
wait,
out
wait
of
a second.
Ricks.
That was. How come we didn't have Cahoon on our.
It should have been on the list.
No, because his 96 season, he's on a great team, but he caught 11 passes.
Clutch catch in the A&M game. So that's really coloring my thinking there. No doubt.
I'm just saying, I don't know if he could compete with those other JC transfers we talked about last time who had multiple, like Sark himself, who had two really good seasons as opposed to just one. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Cahoon was a lot better, right, as a senior with 57 catches, 931 yards, 4 touchdowns. Yeah. Was 23rd in the NCAA in receiving and 36th in scoring.
Now, keep this in mind, though. I wasn't around, but I covered the team as a reporter just a few years later and knew a lot of the people that covered this team. And you know what multiple of them have told me about after the 95 season?
What's that?
That people wanted to replace. Fans were clamoring to get rid of Sarkisian after his fairly mediocre junior year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Shoemaker, Federick, like, put one of these other guys in, you know, and of course, obviously, a quick start to the season kind of ended all that nonsense.
Yeah, I think Shoemaker was really the guy people wanted at the time.
Well, he was a big, I remember being all excited when he committed. I don't know. You know, back then we knew so little compared to what we do today about recruits, right? Like, it was all like from a friend of a friend told you how good they were, or, you know, somebody knew Dick Harmon was in his ward or something. You know, it was very different in the 80s and 90s with recruiting. All right, well.
You know how we missed Ben Cahoon, just to clear this up, is that he's on the website. He's listed it as his previous school is Mountain View High School. So when I was going through and checking, without that data being in there correctly, that's how I would have missed that.
That's how you missed it. All right. Well, Matt, our big topic today is college football scheduling. All right. So let's jump into some questions here on it. Our first one comes from Zachary Thornton. That's at Coronado Zach on Twitter. And of course, you want to tweet at us. It's at BYU_RiceShout. He says, I'll listen to the podcast this week. Thank you. Well, I don't know if you're listening, but I think you might be. If you don't complain about independence, okay, I'll listen anyway. Just play ball, even if it's against Wasatch Academy. Matt, if anybody uses this, well, see, we shouldn't be independent. That is the dumbest argument against independence ever. Oh, well, you know, when global pandemics hit.
What are you going to do? How's your independence now?
Yeah,
come on, guys.
Come on. Stupid.
This is the definition of black swan event, right? Like, that's a term that gets way overused in some circles that I've been in, but I don't know that is there a better example than this? You can't factor something like this into when you're making a decision a decade ago about going independent. This is not something that should drive your decision making.
Speaking of examples, do you have children that use the word literally too often?
I literally have children who use the word literally too often.
So I was trying to explain to my daughter that she's using literally too often and often incorrectly. Because if you use a definitive statement, you don't have to throw the word literally when you say, you know, that car ran into a tree. You don't have to say literally because the phrase itself already says that, right? So I was trying to provide a counterexample, and my wife came up with the best counterexample, and I'm now using it. I give this to you and all the others who have tweens and teenagers. So I give this as for free to the listeners and to you, Matt. Are you ready?
You're a giver.
So my wife was sitting her feet in the pool, and she had a cut on her legs, and she said that it stung. It was like salt in the wounds, literally. Because usually that phrase is figurative.
Yes. Yes.
So that was an appropriate use, because otherwise you might think, oh, is she being figurative? No, she's being literal.
Because you have a saltwater pool.
Because we have a saltwater pool, and therefore perfect. Salt in the wounds. So there you go, everybody. You can use that example to explain to folks. All right. We're way off topic here, but let's get back to these questions.
But I just want to point out for Coronado Zach, we are not going to complain about independence.
No,
so
never.
Listen away.
Never.
Listen
I mean,
away,
there
my
are
friend.
Things we don't like about independence, right? But that's true of any situation you're in, right? Well, I guess if we were in the SEC, well, actually, we'd be complaining about getting
I would
crap
complain
kicked
about
out of
that.
Us.
I'd complain all day about being in the SEC.
Been crap kicked out of us by Bama. But we'll get to that in a second. We might get our shot. Anyway, Chris Murphy at CM Murphy Pro on Twitter says, is this the beginning of the separation of P5 from G5 and possibly the P5 breaking away on their own? #tweetbag. So Matt, do you think we're going to see some very clean lines, to Chris's point, drawn this year where you start thinking, wow, with those next TV deals, the P5 just may say, forget it. We're ditching all these losers, and we're just going to take our money and not even have to spread it around to them.
So this absolutely could produce an interesting case study for what it would look like if the P5 teams only played each other. Often such crazy situations like this can lead to something like that. So could I see this as possibly being the catalyst that pushes in that direction? I can. Do I believe that it will be? Probably not. Not at this point, anyway. I mean, we're still – I think the SEC is probably going to make a statement tomorrow about what they're going to do for their season. I think a lot of the future of this really depends on what they decide. There's still a lot of variables here to think about. I mean, JC football's already decided to move to the spring.
Hey, you're stealing Geoff's question, dude. Stop it.
Sorry. So I think
come on.
I think this could be a catalyst. It could be. Sure.
No, I don't think this is a catalyst. I don't think this has anything to do with it. I mean, I get what he's saying. These fissures already existed, and if the P5 was going to break away, they're going to do it regardless of this thing. This may show it more clearly to the casual fan who doesn't realize how tenuous the finances are for many of the G5 programs, right? They don't understand. You mean, heck, even Stanford, right? Cancels 11 sports, including men's volleyball.
Which is crazy.
It's nuts to me, right? And so they do this after 1 year. Now, Stanford was very explicit that this was actually something that was coming. And quite frankly, it's a pure Stanford move to me. Like, you're going to cancel these 11 sports and basically try to do it during a pandemic so that people can't really complain.
Well, there's a lot of schools, programs, and even businesses are making drastic moves like this because this is the time to do stuff.
Yeah,
because
the noise covers it, right? Yep. I mean, you're Stanford, for heaven's sakes. You got an endowment that's like bigger than the GDP of most countries. So I'm sure you could probably still have rowing, I'm guessing, right? You could find the money somewhere. But anyway, I digress by making fun of Stanford. So I get Chris's question, and I think it'll show those fissures. I don't know that this expedites anything except for just the economics of it might. If you see some G5 programs, you know, if it was like just get out of football or move to FCS, then, you know, that accelerates things, right?
But yeah, we'll see. So, I don't know that, and I agree with you that this isn't going to accelerate anything. The timing of this is going to be absolutely connected to the TV contracts running out and being renegotiated. That's when the timing of it will be. Now, do I believe that this will provide some talking points if there are powers that be inside the P5 conferences that want to go ahead and formalize that separation? I think that it may.
Yeah. Jeff Johnston, that's at JeffJBYU on Twitter. And by the way, Jeff, I'm sorry I said Geoff. I'm sure you've been hearing that for like your entire life. And I'm pretty sure I've said it before on the podcast.
I've said it before. I've said it to other people I know. I've decided actually recently that I need to bury that joke.
All right. So we won't do that anymore, Geoff. All right. Number one, he says, FBS football this fall or no? So Matt, your total gut reaction, will there be FBS football fall 2020? Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to say yes. Okay. Number two, JUCOs are playing football this spring instead. Why couldn't FBS do the same? I have a very easy answer for this one, Matt.
Oh, because I don't have a good answer for this, so why don't you go ahead?
The North. You can't do it. You're not going to play half your season in February in the North. It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster for the Big Ten, parts of the ACC. It's a disaster. Have you heard of college baseball? They don't even start playing college baseball in the North until April.
Yeah, I remember at Purdue, like the college baseball season starts and the baseball team goes down to the South for like the first 6 weeks.
I mean, if you do that, you're probably going to have to do games at neutral stadiums. And what is that? How does that help? Right? I mean, yes, if the pandemic's gone by then and we've got a vaccine and everything's, you know, unicorns and rainbows and all that stuff, right? Then it works, I guess. But you're not going to play at the University of Minnesota. And people are like, oh, they play it like they play in Green Bay and whatever. They don't do it in February.
Well, and then the other thing somebody's going to say to you when you say this, and I immediately have the reply for it, is there are junior colleges in Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Dakota. But the difference here is going to be the money. And the impact on, I mean, you think about what you're paying coaches, what you've negotiated in their contracts in terms of incentives and requirements for success, advertising, butts in seats, like all of these things. The money at the FBS level is really what is going to make it hard to make this thing work. In that weather. I hear you.
And by the way, there's not many junior colleges up north. That's not a thing. It's not as common as it is out west and in the south.
There used to be a really good one in Rexburg.
There used to be. And there are junior colleges. I'm not saying there are none. It's actually more common to have like D2 and D3 schools all throughout the upper Midwest. But I'm just saying, like, there, if you started your season, you'd have to start your season at the latest to be done by the time schools are out. You've got to start by, because it's a 13-week. Now, again, they could do an abbreviated season, right? 8 to 10 games or something to solve this. But today, if you took just the season that we use today, it's 13 weeks. You start that in the end of January, that gets you to frickin' May, guys.
So, right? Well, here's, like, but here's what I'm seeing, right? What I'm seeing is this, because I answered that first question is no. I think that eliminating your non-conference games is the first step to putting yourself in a position to do this. If the SEC comes out this week and says that they're not going to play football in the fall, everybody else is going to have to move.
Well, and it's like what happened in the ACC tournament, right? Right before all the sports world shut down, is when Duke and UNC basically said, we're not playing in the ACC tournament. It ended the NCAA tournament, right? Because right. All you needed right. was a couple of big dominoes to fall. In this case, the SEC is the domino, right? If they decide we're not going to play, then they're not going to play, right? The problem with moving everything to spring, and a lot of people have brought this up, so it's not my idea, is we don't know that we'll be any better in the spring, right? The dream of there will be a vaccine by December, and there'll be millions of it, and everything will be back to normal. by March of next year or February or January, whenever you'd start this season. I think if they're getting good advice from statisticians and virologists and all this stuff, they're going to know the same thing all of us can read, which is there is no guarantee of that, right? There's no guarantee that it's all okay. Our country hasn't shown much of an ability to control this thing, right? As we have this second spike that might end up having more cases than the first spike. So I think I get why people would want to do it, and it's still very well they may decide, and they may have their hands forced, quite frankly, by some of the states where this exists, right? Mm-hmm. They may be forced, but I still think it happens. I still think they figure out a way to make it happen. But you're right. Doing just conference games and gives them massive flexibility to do whatever they want with the schedule if they move it to the spring.
Yeah, it makes all of those moves and options much easier to pivot to.
Well, and heck, they could then add one or two non-conference games back if they wanted.
Sure.
So, all right. Number three, is anyone with a brain really buying that conference games are inherently safer? No. No one with a brain.
But is that really what is anybody really pitching that? Or I mean,
I'm pretty sure the Big Ten said that in their thing,
which is weird, right?
But this is for the safety of our student athletes,
right? But I think if you expose your student athletes to 8 different teams versus 12 different teams, statistically, you could argue that is safer by eliminating some portion of the schedule.
And 4 out of conference games.
Well, you don't need the out-of-conference games. They don't help you. You want to crown a conference champion so you can send them to a bowl game or compete for a spot in the college football playoff. You don't need the non-conference games to do that. That's why those games got eliminated.
You're the Pac-12 or the Big 12. You absolutely do. See, that's the thing. Big 10 falls first because they don't know. They know their champ gets in, right? And the SEC can do the same thing. I was shocked by the way that the Pac-12 went. Down that fast too, because they're out, right? Like if they don't, they need, Oregon needed to play. Who are they playing? Bama?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's Oregon supposed to play early? Anyway, they need those games. The Pac-12 and the Big 12 need those marquee games for to get into the college football playoff. So I hear what you're saying. It's true for the Big 10 and the SEC. It is not true for the Pac-12 and the Big 12, they can crown a conference champion. And that conference champion, as we have seen, is not guaranteed a seat at the table at the end. Right? I mean, this helps the SEC more than anybody if you go to just conference games. SEC and Big 10 get a massive bonus. I mean, you may see 4 teams from those 2 conferences. And maybe Clemson, right? Clemson just has to not fall, right? In an ACC.
But the other thing too is, and it might have to, and it, I'd have to look at TV contracts too, right? There could be something to that. If we're going to eliminate part of the season, the conference has a contract with a television network, and they have to produce that many games or these particular games.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And especially if one of their conference members is going to play one of these big other programs on the road, like they're not, the paycheck's not as big of a thing to sacrifice in that case.
Yeah, it depends, right? But all these networks, I mean, it's ESPN now, right?
Right.
So in the end, I think you could work that stuff out. But yeah, that's definitely a consideration.
But do you imagine that these guys talked to ESPN before they announced this? I would assume that they did. At least the lawyers talked to the lawyers and said, hey, look, like, what is this going to do?
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure they've had tons of discussions. So his last one is...
I don't know what kind of, like... what's the word I'm looking for? What kind of force majeure clauses are in those contracts?
Oh, I'm sure they exist. They're always in those contracts.
Global pandemic probably hits, right?
Yeah. If any games happen this fall, his last one is, will fans be allowed in the stands? I'm going to say no. We've yet to see a athletic event in the world have fans in the stands.
Well, no, that's not true. They're doing that a little bit in some of these countries. Where they've really eliminated it, and small countries and places and baseball games. But I don't think that anywhere in the United States is going to be letting that fly anytime in 2020.
Fans in Korean baseball stadiums. I thought they stopped. but I might be wrong. I thought they started to do that and then they stopped. No. They're doing it in Japan. All right. I still don't think we'll do it here. And if they do, it's going to be masked fans and 1/3 the capacity of the stadium. That's like your best case scenario, I think.
But even when you do that, like how, I mean, you're never going to, whatever you're going to be asking those people to do in terms of distancing or masks or whatever inside that stadium, policing it would be an absolute nightmare.
It'll be like church. No singing of the fight song. I'm just saying.
Never been able to sing the fight song at church. No, I mean, believe me, I tried.
I've done it. I've done it. I was primary music leader, started singing it once. Thought one of the teachers was going to throw a chair at me. Big question is, of course, what will BYU's season look like? So let's take all this stuff off the table, the big picture stuff. And let's just say today that just for fun, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they cancel and everybody else holds pat. I don't think that's what's going to actually happen. But let's for a minute suspend reality and say that today, as the facts as we know them at 9:34 p.m. Central Daylight Time, are what they are. Okay? So, with Randy Whittle's question on Facebook, and of course, if you want to join the conversation on Facebook, you could do it at facebook.com/riseandshout. He says, can the Cougs possibly salvage their schedule and add more games at this point? Why does COVID attack people more in non-conference rather than conference games? He's making the same joke from above. Matt, the answer is quite simple. If everything else stays pat, BYU has tons of options, and we're going to go through them here in a minute. If it were to stay pat.
Right.
If the SEC comes out tomorrow and says, we're playing our full scheduled games, including non-conference, I think the ACC will follow, is likely to follow. And I think the Big 12 is likely to follow them.
I think that's true whichever direction they go.
Correct. I agree. As they fall. So yes, they can. Then we've got a couple from the Aggie fan, and he's got a trademark, Aggie fan Dan, at USU, the right blue. And he's got a point with the right blue, because we copied their blue. And when
For sure.
When it happened, I remember thinking,
at the press conference.
I was at the press conference. I'm like, what are we doing? We're royal blue. We're not navy blue. And one of the reporters said something about navy blue and got corrected at the press conference. No, it's BYU blue. It's
And didn't they hold up the like color wheel and they're like, see, it's a different Pantone number between the two. Like, I can't see a difference.
Yeah, it looks like navy blue to me. Anyway, so he says he has two questions for us. What does BYU do if every other conference goes conference only? Play every underpinnant once or twice? Also, I'm sure a lot of people are asking about Notre Dame. That seems lofty, but what can BYU possibly do to swing a deal with them? Listen, Notre Dame is hosed by the Big Ten and Pac-12 shutting down.
Absolutely, and they owe us a game.
And they cannot fill up with just the ACC. I've heard people say that. They cannot. That is not physically possible for them to fill up their whole conference, their whole schedule with more ACC foes. I mean, again, that's barring a bunch of other cancellations, but as of today, Notre Dame could not do that. They need games, so we'll get to that in a second. Then he says, does BYU take an offer for a one-year-only invite to the Mountain West Conference? Would the Mountain West want to do that after a messy breakup a decade ago? So let me ask you a question. I'm going to phrase it a little differently here than Aggie Fan Dan did, okay? If ESPN and the Mountain West came to BYU and said, listen, you're going to have to give up a little bit of money for these games you play against Mountain West Conference foes, right, that are on ESPN at Provo, right, that they have today. But what you're going to get in return is you're going to get a full slate of games through the conference, and you'll be a part of the conference for 1 year, and you have a chance to win the championship and go to the bowl game. And after that, we are back to not liking each other again. Would you take that deal? I mean, financially, it's going to be about the same. And obviously, schedule-wise, like if they came to you today, you have to make a decision today before all the other conferences have made a decision on what they're doing.
I'm not taking it.
Don't you think you'd take it, though?
I think it's a very tough call given the situation. You lose all leverage today, right?
You lose all leverage once the rest of the conferences cancel their non-conference games. You have no leverage at that point as BYU. You're coming there with your tail.
You're coming out with your hat in hand, saying, "Okay, no, can we talk about this again?" And now it's going to cost you more money, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd take it for 1 year. I mean, this is a crazy, unprecedented year. And I think you turn around and go, okay, let's just do this. You know, for 1 year, we'll be back in the Mountain West Conference. Now, I don't know, quite frankly, how that even works with the number of teams that are in that conference. I don't think it's really that easy to do, but it's interesting. And similar to that, Nicoletto on Twitter, that's at Nicoletto, says, how many home and home arrangements will BYU have to create with Liberty and UMass? With both of those games happening in 2020 to fill the schedule, is this going to be an Independence Conference only schedule? Pain bag, hashtag pain bag, hashtag climb on in, hashtag tweet bag. Wait a second, did he just use Gary Payne's pain bag hashtag? He spelled it
wrong. He did. That's a thing.
Interesting. All right, so Matt, BYU lost their games in weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, and 13 as of now. And again, by the time you listen to this podcast, it might be totally different. But this is a fun exercise. Here's what we're going to do. Each of these weeks, I have listed off opponents that I think are possible for us to play that have also now had things come up in their schedules, okay, with game cancellations. So out of these lists, I want you to pick the one that you most want and the one that you think is the most realistic that we would get an agreement with, okay?
All right.
Week one, the candidates currently are Northern Arizona, Colorado State, Alabama, UNLV, North Dakota State, Oklahoma State, William & Mary, Bowling Green, and Kent State. So who is your dream matchup in week one?
Actually, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State.
It's not Alabama?
Oh, I don't think Alabama. Oh, if I could have anybody. Okay, yeah, Alabama.
Dream
I can have
one,
anybody.
Not realistic.
My dream one. I got you. Alabama.
Yeah. Alabama. By the way, I just read that I think they're already talking BYU and Alabama. I'm telling
you
right
now. Yeah. You really just read that?
Yeah, it's coming. They're going to. I'm telling you right now, all these ADs are all on the phone with each other as we speak.
Well, did you see that the BYU media day that was supposed to happen next Monday has been postponed indefinitely because Homo's out working these deals.
Yeah, he's out working these deals. Because here's the thing. If the SEC says we're playing, then college football is going to happen and BYU's got to put a schedule together, right? And Alabama's got to have a schedule. Right.
So. But if you look at Alabama's schedule, I mean, already they, in the month of September, right, they're Georgia State, Georgia, and Kent State. So could they use like another game in there before they get into conference play? Maybe. But that Georgia game's like going to be a tough game. They may want to have a little bit more time. I don't know.
We'll see. All right. So what's your most realistic off that list?
UNLV.
UNLV, yeah, it's the Mountain West schools. I would also put, assuming North Dakota State wants to play and the FCS, that's another one that I think is realistic, that they'd want to do something like that. All right, week two, the candidates are UNLV again, Fresno State, New Mexico, TCU, Colorado State, UConn, Iowa State, Central Michigan, Tulane, Memphis, Southern Illinois. Wait a second. Oh, no, we play Northern Illinois later. Western Kentucky, Ball State, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse. Out of that, who is, like, the one you'd want to play?
The one I want to play here? This there's no Alabama on this list, right?
No, so there is not, no Alabama.
This one's not nearly as fun. So the team that I would really want to play, should we play Memphis again?
I don't want to play Memphis again. I want to TCU. Get Gary Patterson on the phone.
Yeah, that would be fun. Another TCU matchup would be fun.
Yeah, get Gary Patterson on the phone. I
could drive up to Dallas-Fort Worth and watch the game over the internet because there won't be any fans in the stands.
That's right. And UNLV, Fresno State, New Mexico, obviously, Mountain West teams that are sitting out there to potentially play. And
I think UConn is because they're going to be the most desperate.
Yeah, they're gonna need a game. All right, week three, it's Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Wyoming, Hawaii, Bowling Green, South Dakota State, Central Michigan, Air Force, Appalachian State, Ball State, West Virginia, Toledo, Buffalo, San Jose State, and Temple all have open schedules at this point. Who's your dream matchup out of that?
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M would be pretty sweet. That is on my list as well, for sure. Is on my list as well. I think Air Force would also be cool. I liked the rivalry with Air Force back in the day, and maybe one of the more realistic ones is Air Force. San Jose State.
Yeah, I think Air Force might be the more realistic one.
You know, San Jose State, Wyoming. Ugh.
Maybe South Dakota State.
Maybe South Dakota State. Week four, there's not a lot because a lot of the conferences are starting in week four, but there's some intriguing possibilities. Cincinnati, Boston College, UConn, and Miami of Florida. Not of Ohio. Dream matchup there. It's got to be Miami, right?
It's Miami, of course.
Right. And if it's not UConn, it's Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, but it's UConn. UConn's the more
likely.
Yeah,
but unless you take UConn in, you know, week two, but.
I do a home and home.
We could totally do a home and home. Yeah. Let's put everybody on airplanes and fly them across the entire country.
If we get through 2020 without having a team that we play twice. I'm just going to count that as a miracle in and of itself.
Well, what happens when we play? What happens when we play SUU twice?
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay. And week 13, guys, it's easy. It's easy. It's Notre Dame.
That's the only option.
Today it is because everybody else is in conference play.
Right.
But yes, Notre Dame. Here's the thing: if you're Notre Dame. This is an and people play, and again, there's so many ifs here and suppositions that it's like ridiculous. But you got to think of it this way: if you're Notre Dame, you've kind of got this commitment to play us in the future again. Nobody right now is even believing that's ever going to happen. This is your way to honor that commitment and walk off, right?
Yeah, be done with it. Wash your hands of it and be done.
And Notre Dame's going to need game inventory if this all goes through. I look through theirs in the ACC schedules. The ACC would have to do some gymnastics, which they could, to accommodate Notre Dame, because obviously Notre Dame is a member of their conference in every other sport, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. They could probably work it out with some things. So, you really think we're not playing college football? What about, okay, let's do this. In MLB, will they do their 60-game season in a playoff?
No.
Are you serious?
I don't think they'll get through it.
The NBA with their bubble in Orlando.
The bubble in Orlando, maybe, because I think it's shorter, right?
Yeah, it's shorter, and they're in a bubble.
Right.
Right. I mean, that you're controlling
game,
the environment.
A 60-game baseball season?
But they got 60 players each on their playable roster. Even if you have five guys go down with COVID, you can bring somebody else up.
Right. Okay. I don't think they're going to make
it. But the Premier League is doing it. Fewer players than a baseball team.
Yep. Different kind of geography.
Different geography.
I'm telling you,
I'm
just Debbie Downer on this. I really am. Maybe it's just where I am.
What about
today,
hockey?
Right?
Like, NHL.
I think professional sports. In the United States, aren't going to look the way that we think
they're
going to look.
They're not in the United States, dude. They're playing all the games in Canada, in Toronto and Edmonton.
Oh, I didn't know that about NHL.
They're playing all. They're doing the bubble thing too, and they got the Eastern Conference teams in Toronto and Toronto, right? And the Western Conference teams in Edmonton.
That may work.
Because you're in a place in Canada that has relatively. Has been much better controlling this than the U.S. has been. So, I don't know. I think the NHL has the most probability. It's both shorter, like you said, with the NBA, and I think the bubble thing where you've got more control, you know, I think the NFL, I just don't know how they're going to make it all work, right?
I haven't seen anybody put out, like, a good NFL plan, right? Like, I have no idea how they're going to make that work.
Yeah, it's going to be...
You can't put the NFL in a bubble.
You cannot put the NFL in a bubble. It does... I saw this one article. I forget where it was, so I can't give it credit, where they were jokingly saying you put all of them in Vegas. All 32 NFL teams.
Oh my gosh.
You play the game starting at like 6 a.m. on Saturday, and you play slates of games all day at the same stadium in Vegas.
Can you imagine?
And you've just got like, you've got, and there's never two games on at once.
And where do they practice? They'll all be practicing at high schools.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the plan was, the guy even said in the article, like, this plan is not actually a plan, right?
Yeah, it's
like,
bananas.
It's stupid,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Where do you keep everybody? There's hotels. That's what he was joking, right? No one's going to Vegas right now anyway. So you've got lots of hotel inventory. But then I've heard other people say that the NFL could do a bubble. It would just be extremely complicated, and they'd have to blow up the schedule, right, and do what baseball is trying to do, which is minimize travel and lots of long distance cross country travel, so you could
focus your divisional games and
play those types of things. The AFC East and the NFC East just play each other, and that's all who plays, right? But the problem with the NFL, unlike MLB and some of these other sports, is like the divisions don't actually make geographic sense. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are in the NFC. What?
It makes no sense.
Yeah, right? Like, it's insane, right? It doesn't make any sense.
It's all historical and all that, so.
But the NFL does have the money to try to pull this off. But I am, man, you are Debbie Downer.
I think that the way the NFL makes this work is coming up with some type of abbreviated season is what they're going to end up having to do. I mean, I just haven't heard, like, a credible approach to what they're going to do there that I think is sustainable.
Hey, they released, they're doing face shields on the helmets. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Released that today. Well, this is a depressing podcast. Let's end on something not depressing.
Is the NFL move and play in the spring, though? What does the NFL move?
The NFL can do whatever the heck it wants, but the answer is no.
Any time of year, and people will watch.
The answer is, I think, no, and the reason is I don't think the NFL Players Association would sign off on it.
Never in a million years.
Because I think the possibilities for injury of having not have that long of an off season is
way too high.
Because when do you start, right? Because again, it's a 16-week season. I've heard people say, "Yeah, you can just move it to the spring." Okay, so when are you ending again? Right?
And you're going to turn right back around to play the 2021 season. You can't.
Yeah.
And by the time you do 16 weeks in the playoffs and the Super Bowl,
that's half a year, guys.
You'd be drafting during the regular season.
You'd be drafting during the regular season, and you'd be turning around and having mini camps, like not mini camps. You'd be having preseason camp a month after you ended the season.
Right.
So yes, you could do it. But quite frankly, the NFL, the NBA, if I were them, I would push back the start of next season till January or like February 1.
Well, but there's a lot. See, this is another instance of a time where an organization can use this as the catalyst to make a decision they've been talking about and wanting to do for a
long
time.
NBA, it
makes a lot of sense for them to push the start of their season back. There's a lot of people behind that.
Yeah. Get out of the way of the NFL and college football, right?
Wait till that's over. Start playing in January because nobody cares about the NBA till Christmas anyways.
Well, and then you've got your playoffs happening when there is nothing else in sports except for baseball. And some soccer and stuff. But you've got the national stage all to yourself, assuming the NHL doesn't flip theirs, but I don't know if the NBA cares what the NHL does.
Yeah, but even if they did, you could still own that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's Simon, and he emailed us, and of course you want to email us, you can do it at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. He emailed us a question. He says, "Dear Rise and Shout Podcast," always so formal, Simon, I love it. "My dad sat next to Jemmer Fredette on the airplane once." Awesome. That sounds like the airplane game.
He lived the airplane game.
He did. If you could ask Jemmer one question on an airplane during, we're going back in time, and it's during the 2010-2011 season, what would you ask? So not today, Matt, but we're back in time.
So this is back. This is during the heat of all that excitement, Gemmermania.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say that it's flying out to the NCAA tournament. Let's even make it more precise. I know what question I would ask him.
What is the question you would ask?
Are you planning on just pulling up from three quarters court and shooting? He never did it. Except, you know, like at the end of a quarter or something. I was just waiting for him to just, or just right at the half, you know, with his feet still, you know, like he's shooting a free throw, a three-pointer, but from the half court line.
Yeah.
Just jack it up. Place would have gone bonkers. Oh.
My question really is, did you just know that shot was going to go in? I think you and I, you're referencing the same shot.
Yeah.
That shot that he chucked up at the end of the quarter against Utah?
Yeah.
And he didn't even look. He didn't even look. And it went in, and he's like, all right, we're going to walk off now.
Yeah,
He knew that shot was going to go in. I don't even know what that looks like.
And this is kind of a cop-out reporter question, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. But I've never heard him ask this question. I'm sure I've probably even read the answer.
Yep.
But my question is, did he believe when he was a freshman that he could possibly be the National Player of the Year? Was that still in his brain? Like, you know, as a high schooler, like, I was the 11th best guy on my high school basketball team. And how many people were on the roster? 11, right? So I even had dreams that I could win an NCAA championship or be like this star. So I'm guessing that Jimmer had those. But after you come and you hit the realities of college basketball and you're no longer just dominating things, did he really still believe that, right? Was that still in his head, like, okay, I just got to work harder and I'm going to get there? Or at that point, was it, well, I might be a good role player for BYU. Heck, I might even lead the team in scoring once. Did his goals shift, or did he still believe, no, I am the best player. I will be the best player, not only on this team, but one of the best in the country? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. What an awesome season.
Amazing season. Another thing I might ask him is, what's his best memory from it, right?
Yeah.
Which is hard to ask him if you're in the middle of it.
Well, you could flip the game and have him do after too, right? I mean,
because there are some all-time BYU basketball moments during that season. All time.
Oh yeah, fantastic. I would also ask him about mullets, Matt, because.
Oh, geez.
Simon says, also, if BYU goes to the Sweet 16 next year, Matt has to grow a mullet. Simon has spoken, and it shall be done, Matt.
See, unfortunately, I'm not sure Simon understands the depth of my follicle challenges. I don't know that I can grow a mullet.
Yes, you can. You have hair in the back of your head.
Yeah, I guess.
That's all you need for a mullet.
Dude. There's no way. I'd look like the groundskeeper from Hogwarts. There's no way I'm growing a mullet. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that would be a great Halloween costume. You could keep it around for a few months.
I have to carry a cat around. I don't even know.
You're making Harry Potter references.
Harry Potter references. I'm amazed at what just came out of my mouth.
This is the second time in like three podcasts you've made a Harry Potter reference.
I don't know what to tell you.
I feel like I'm a good influence upon you.
I'm just trying to keep the kids entertained.
That's right. That's right. Well, Simon, I love the idea. And if they make it to the Sweet 16, this will come up, Matt.
I hope that it comes up. I can't wait to talk about the team going to the Sweet 16.
And
I can't wait
to talk about it.
I'm not going to commit to a mullet just because I think this might be a good basketball team. So
how about this? How about this? What if we both commit right now to a mullet?
No, I'm not going to commit to a mullet. You have like a full flowing head of hair, all right? Like,
hey,
you can joke around and waste time on things like a mullet. I can't.
Hey, at the before I got my haircut here at the end of social isolation, I was pretty close to a mullet. All right, well, thank you everybody for downloading and listening. If you want to support the podcast, of course you can do that at Patreon. Become a patron of the show. patreon.com/riseandshout. We will be back next week because I can't imagine we wouldn't be. And I'm sorry, Simon, we didn't do the all-decade basketball team, but we'll push that off until I'm guessing next week we'll be talking about like scheduling and stuff.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is the whole world's going to turn upside down in the next 2 days.
Yeah. So we're going to have to give our take on it again. So anyway, thanks everybody, of course, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.